tonight, Lord, that you would help us to approach you in the right way, Lord. Would you anoint Brother Tony, Lord, and give him the wisdom and the leadership, Lord, to know which direction to go, Father. Lord, that we would leave this place feeling edified, Lord, in your spirit, Lord. We desire you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we'll have a good time in the Lord tonight, and what we want is interaction. Okay, so if you have something you want to put in, question you want to ask on the spur of the moment, the more interaction we get, the better off we'll be. So the one question I had come quite a time back, and it was, is anybody who is not bride or elect circumcised? Is everybody who is not bride or elect circumcised? And so that was one question. And you had another question there a while ago. Would you care to share that again real quick?
Oh, the Chronicles?
Yeah.
Just like I've been struggling for the last few weeks. This is not me again. It's like the old me trying to raise his ugly head or whatever, but just under a lot of stress, and just pray for him, please. And I just heard a sermon about Brother Branham, about when he was walking through Memphis where the Shunammite, the little Aunt Jemima woman, said that she inserted herself into Scripture, and then he, you know, started expounding upon that, and then she had said, "Well, where is the Elijah?" She called him a parson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, parson. Mm-hmm. She says, "Where is my?" And she inserted herself into the Scripture, and then she says, "Where is my Elijah?" Mm-hmm. And I was just saying, why can't I insert myself into that and be okay with being away from home, stuck in a truck, behind a steering wheel, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Sorry.
No,
that's what we're here for, brother. That's, you know, there is a question in life, there is an answer. It's right here. We have to realize that God is in control of, he is mindful of us, and he is in control and involved in every second of every day of every person, you know. And so we know that there's an answer for you in the Scriptures, and he knows how to bring that out and speak to your heart. We just believe that he'll do that. So that first question is anybody who's not elect or bride, are they circumcised? And some of those questions like that are, they're humdingers, you know, when it comes to answering that. The answer is no. Not everybody, just because they're not bride, not elect, that does not mean that they are serpent seed. I know if you go back into the Garden of Eden and you look, you know, there was two seed lines there. So it's that of Cain and that of Abel. And so you would think of that and that, well, you know, it would be. But if you go into the Scriptures, and we can go into Romans chapter 9, I believe it is. So we're going to go there and just talk about a few things here. Romans chapter 9. So, you know, Brother Branham said, we don't want to try to change God's word to line up with our idea. We want the word of God to change us so that we line up with his word. And so some of these things, like these topics like this, is really a struggle for a lot of people, you know. But if you are students of the message, students of the word, you know, that it's here in the Scriptures. And so we'll begin reading at verse 6. and Paul is talking about Israel. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on him I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on him I will have compassion. So then it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And so in the scriptures there, Paul is talking about that, you know, Jacob and Esau, before they were ever born, you know, Brother Bram talked about this. He said that even before they were born, God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And you know, if you look at what was in Jacob, look at what was in Esau, the way they responded to God's word, that was the thing that God was referring to there. And so, but the scripture we started out there said not everybody that is Israel is Israel. Not everybody that came out of the loins of Abraham were elect or were, you know. And so if you look at the scriptures, you know, so the godly side coming from Adam all the way down through Seth came all the way to Abraham, and then Abraham had Isaac and he had Ishmael. Ishmael was a wild man. Isaac was the child of promise, and this is what Paul is speaking of here. Isaac was the child of promise, and so it was that genealogy that was the one that he said was children of God, not out of Ishmael. But yet they were both out of Abraham's seed, and so we know Ishmael was a wild man, right? Scripture said he can't be tamed, and that's why we have what we have over there today. In the Middle East is that wild nature of Ishmael. Not everybody that's in Islam is Ishmael, mm-hmm. right? But when it's of the seed of Ishmael, there is no talking to them. There is no, they're just, you can't, you know. But so there's unrighteous seed, and then you've got Isaac, which was the promise. And then Isaac, they got Jacob and Esau. Jacob was the righteous side, Esau wasn't. Mm-hmm. So they all come out of the same father, right? And so not everybody that come from Abraham is elect. And so bring that over as a typology into Christianity. Not everybody that's in church, not everybody that calls themselves Christians, not all of them are elect, right? But not all, it doesn't mean that all of them that are elect are also wicked either. There's, you know, and this is one of the things that Brother Branham brought out in this hour to us in this day, you know, the Lord did through him, was there's a bride, there's a church, then there's, you know, there's harlots, right? So you know the harlots, what their condition is, but there's a bride, and then there's foolish virgins. And so The elect is the bride. You got foolish virgins. They're still saved, but they're not brides. You know, and this is such a wide topic, so we'll just be touching it tonight. But Brother Ben talked about how that, you know, when we get there, you got the king, you got his queen. He talked about 144,000 being eunuchs for the bridal chamber. Right? Mm-hmm. So there's different people in God's economy, there's different people serve different parts, but only the bride is the bride. And I'll say this, I guess probably everybody's old enough. You know, the king can have all kinds of concubines. And each one of those concubines had a time of intimacy with the king. He could even bear children to the king. But they weren't the queen. There was only one that was the queen who carried the crown, and what she birthed was the royal lineage to carry on. So there's many churches that have had moves of God, but there's only one that he's going to crown as queen. And so she's the elect, but then there's these other ones. They're still saved. They're not lost, but then you got some that are just flat out harlot whores, you know, and they're lost. You know, they're done. Wrath of God upon them. And so that's kind of a roundabout way to get there to answer the question. There's no, just because someone's not elect or bride does not mean that they're serpent seed. So that makes sense. Anybody have a input or question to swing in there about that? Interaction. Loosen up. Usually by the time we're almost through Bible study and everybody loosens up. It's like, hey, you gotta quit. Come on, let's do it fast this time. You know? Amen. Because we're all family. Right. So
you got a question, Malachi? There's a saying that we say a lot of times, and I think it gets brushed over as in, we don't really mean it, but I really do mean it. There's not a dumb question. And people aren't going to look at you like, I can't believe they're asking that question. If you got a question, just ask the question, you know? And a lot of times it's something simple, and a lot of times it's like having a piece of a puzzle you've been trying to put together, like, my goodness, I can't connect this. And sometimes it's just one little piece, and it's like, oh my gosh, I see it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way a lot of times little bitty questions are. It's Bible study. So.
Yeah. You know, those of you that's in college right now, we often say this, you've been there, whatever, but there's material, man, that you look at and go, man, why, this is so hard. But after a while, it's just, that's so simple.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's the same thing. There's things about God's word, about his program that at one time you just thought, man, I just don't know. Like, I can't get my head around it, you know. And then after it's revealed to you, I'd say it's all over the Bible, you know. Amen.
I did have a question. It didn't really have anything to do with this, but what would you say is the best way to stay in tune with the service? When you're in service, a lot of times your mind will wonder or whatever, but what would y'all say the best way is to keep that from happening, and that way you're getting everything out of the service?
I think that's an outstanding
question. That is a good question. Yeah, that's a good question.
I think we all struggle.
Everybody. So I could say all kinds of things, like, well, to start with, it starts the night before.
Yeah.
You know, but, preparation. You know, the prophet taught us about coming to church early, being prayed, you know. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot of people dropping the ball on that.
Yeah.
You know, coming to church 5 minutes till or 3 minutes till or whatever, it's just, that's, you're not doing, and listen, God sent that man here for a reason. That gift is to tell us what we need to do. And so he would share these things and tell us, you know, come to church. And so I know Brother Daniel has mentioned it in service, you know, many times, hey, try to stay focused. Try to listen. Try to understand what the minister's saying, because we all fight this, your mind drifting off and whatever. And so, you know, the best thing I can think to do is to come. We need to come.
Okay.
Come in a heart of worship. Mm-hmm. We're not just here as a lodge. You know, people gather together and have a good time around beer. I mean, you can get together around a lot of things, but you can create a holy environment just because you come with the right attitude of worship. I'm here to honor my Lord, to do anything I can to get him to be pleased, you know, because he deserves it, and we know he's there to bless more than we want to be blessed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, go ahead.
A couple things, adding to what he was saying. One of the big things is getting the Spirit. I can't overemphasize how important that is, to get in the Spirit, because especially if it's a healing service, a teaching service, you want to be in the same Spirit, in the Spirit. And I'm going to be careful in how I say this, because in a sense I want to say get in the same Spirit the preacher's in. I don't mean receive the preacher's Spirit,
right,
but you've got to get caught up in what he's saying, because if you're not going to catch what he's saying. So getting in the Spirit, where that comes from is during the worship service. I know it may sound silly. Some people say it doesn't matter if I raise my hand or not. I'm telling you, it does. Whenever you, sometimes you won't even feel like, and you can be so gung-ho of saying, I'm not going to imitate nothing. I'm not going to be fake. And you can do that. You can actually make yourself stale. Sometimes whenever I don't feel good and I don't feel like praising the Lord, that's what I do. I raise my hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, I am here because I am going to worship you. That's the reason I'm here. That's my purpose of being here. That time I was healed in my shoulder. That's what I did. Like, it hurt so bad, I just raised my hand. So getting the Spirit is one thing. Saying amen during the service. When you're saying amen to the service, that's pulling you back in line every single time. Because you're saying, you are testifying, I believe that. And you're creating your own little environment of casting your own unbelief by saying amen, amen. I'm good with notes. I think notes are good, but I don't want you to, it's a balance. You don't want to be so caught into it that you're just writing notes that you're hearing your own thoughts and what you're writing, and you're missing the service of what's being preached. You can have good intentions of, I'm just going to write notes. Catch what I'm saying? You were literally writing your own thoughts so much you're missing the thought that's come across the pulpit.
Yeah, yeah.
And your good intentions. The devil's a slick devil.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Being in the Spirit, saying amens, raising your hands, I believe that, and studying during your time, off time, because you're going to find little pieces of the puzzle during your off time. You're like, wow, Brother Tony said that, and I just read that. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It brings an excitement inside you. It's like that's where it comes from.
That's right.
And the more you do that, and when you do that, you're helping the preacher.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you what, sometimes when ain't nobody saying amens, ain't nobody doing nothing, that preacher's got to work twice as hard.
Yeah,
am I telling
the
truth?
You're like,
yeah. Yes. Yes. That's right. Does that make sense? What I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. Let me make a suggestion too. These services are recorded. You can go back and write notes later.
Yeah.
Go back. You know what I'm saying? Just do. Stay in there. And, you know. And then if you want to go back, then go write your notes and listen to it again.
Yeah.
And that way you can not miss like.
I'm not saying don't write notes. not to the right.
I know y'all know I write notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a focus thing for me. Because I think I have this issue as a mom because I was so busy all the time that, you know, and always had kids, and to the point that when I didn't have them anymore, I had a hard time focusing.
Yeah.
I know that sounds crazy, but I focus better. But a lot of times, I don't write what I write little, like y'all will say certain things, and I'll write it down. And it just helps me kind of stay focused. And,
yeah.
But
and
that's the reason why I do it, because it's a focus.
Yeah.
It helps me focus doing something. But
yeah.
Sometimes it's just a sentence that's a thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of mine. I mean, if you ever looked at mine, it'd be just sentences. It's not like a whole paragraph of anything.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, It may be a half a sentence.
Yeah. And it's not a cookie stamp thing.
Yeah.
It's an individual walk.
Yeah.
You do what works for you. You know, these are just these are from my perspective of what I see.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta search out your own salvation.
You know, and I would say this because I've seen this in services too. You can get into a rut of anything. You can get into a rut of saying amen all
mm-hmm.
the time. You really don't even.
That's right.
You know, so. If you believe it, say it. You know, if it's right and inspires you, you know, I don't want anyone to be doing that if just because.
Right.
It's an interaction. God is a living God, and He wants a living people to worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not stone. You know, if God was a stone statue, everybody would come in and see and experience the same thing. Well, God's not. He's living. Yeah. He moves. He has, you know, interaction. And so everybody's experience is special to them alone, right? And so thank God for that. But in all of everyone's experiences, it'll obviously be a holy, holy experience according to His Word. And so, yeah.
A lot of times you can create the presence too by just when you wake up in the morning and start singing a song that mm-hmm. we sing in service. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it is automatic. I don't even think it comes, and then I start whistling or I'll start singing, and then I start playing music on my phone, and then when I get to service,
that's right.
It's good to get 30 minutes early so you can pray
mm-hmm.
And ask God to really speak to you in whatever the ministry has for you that morning.
It is a fight for all of us.
Yeah.
It always will be until we get out of this flesh. You know, just realize that when you come to church, the devil's going to be there to try, and you have to, you know, focus to say, hey, I'm going to worship. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to get into the spirit of worship. The songs are there to get us, you know, like I've said many times, they take musicians and when they go out to battle, because it gets you encouraged, you know, and so you're coming into battle, you know, you're coming there and Satan's going to be there fighting you, trying to get you to not hear the word, to get your mind adrift, to get the kids to screaming and hollering or whatever it is, and so we just have to know, hey, this is a battle and I am here and my faith is going to bust through all this. I'm going to get a blessing today that God's going to speak to me. I'm going to pull it right out. And I know the children can distract, and that's just something, you know, that's just, we just have to deal with that, right? We just have to go with it. And so make a choice. Make a choice. I'm not going to let the crying baby, I'm not going to let that baby bother me. You know, if the minister sees a lot of stuff, okay? So when the phone does something and somebody's got to go give attention to it, everybody. See what's going on?
I feel it.
And I'm like, hey, hey, I'm still up here, you know.
That's when he takes his fist and hold it.
No, but that, it's little distractions like that, anything like that, it just makes determine, hey, I am here, and I'm not going to let those things happen. And, you know,
and one thing I'll say about that, real quick, while he's saying that, especially at the end of the service, Brother Drum talks about this a lot. It talks about at the end of the service, you watch it, whenever the Lord's trying to come down, that devil will try to anoint unbelief of one person, because a lot of time with the Lord, during the service, during the preaching of the word, the Lord is exposing those devils. Mm-hmm. Brother Drum talked about that.
Right.
He said a person will have a peculiar look on their face when they see that devil's been exposed. So what happens is, he said, if you could see it, there'd be like dark streaks going across.
Yeah.
And what it is, it's unbelief. Those devils will try to communicate
right.
with one another, and it'll try to hinder the service. So be educated in your mind of knowing through maturity, hey, this devil is going to try to wreck this service because people are receiving faith for healing right now. And don't allow that darkness to try to come toward you. You're not trying to call yourself a devil
right.
or a demon, but, you know, create your own area. You know, protect yourself. Whenever you see the distractions trying to come to service, you pull on the service during that time to bring people's attention back. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's
you know, to illustrate that, just, you know, how that we talk about, we all are a lick of fire. We all come together and each one of us get more heat because of everybody else's fire, and we all draw from each other. So just imagine in that realm, let's just imagine if I was a evil spirit and I was trying to make Brother Daniel disbelieve, right? Of a certain thing, of a certain unbelief or whatever, and let's say maybe you're the same bothering him, you know, and so I'm trying to make Brother Daniel doubt, and I'm not getting, and hey, can you help me here, hey, and so there's another a negative, I'm gonna call it a negative lick of fire,
yeah,
that's trying to burn and accumulate to make it even more, and that's what Brother Bram was saying, but this devil is trying to hold this person when he's
yes.
about to be exposed. He's screaming at somebody else over
yes.
here, And that person, that demon over there is on that person. That person's got the same problem. Let's say it's a depression. Mm-hmm. So here's a devil trying to make somebody be depressed, and he wants to accumulate unbelief, and he starts hollering over at a demon that's bothering somebody else with depression, mm-hmm. and starts trying to accumulate unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Brown could see those spirits. See what I'm saying? And we have to realize when you come to church or in your homes, wherever, there are things behind the scene that's working to try and defeat. Right? It's a spiritual warfare. And I think that's one thing that people are really making some big mistakes in their walk is to realize, as I haven't said it in a long time, but like if you were in Vietnam and you were having to move through the jungle, I guarantee you, you would say there could be an enemy behind that tree, behind that bush. Mm-hmm. Every tree, every bush, you would be leery of all of it. Mm-hmm. But yet here in church or in life, oh, it's okay to listen to that song. It's okay to go here or have this friend or what. It's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
No, the devil's in the details.
Yes.
Right? And you must analyze everything according to his word. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because it's a battle. No. That's a very good question.
Yeah.
It should benefit all of us.
Yeah.
And preachers aren't exempt.
Right.
You know, we battle those things too.
Absolutely.
So, that's good. Any other input? Questions off on that one? Okay. All right. So we can still come up with any other questions. We're going to move over to Brother Brian's question there. He's talking about the Brother Branham. I think everybody's probably familiar with the story. Brother Branham was in a plane, and that colored woman there in Memphis, her son, and she. If you go back in story, you see that she had no children, and she prayed to the Lord and asked the Lord for a child. And he gave her a son, and then that son, as he got older, he got out in the wrong crowd, and he contacted the social disease, and he was dying. And he was laying in the bed, and you know, that mother, the love of a mother, and she, in her life, because of that, somehow or another, she saw herself as that woman in the Bible. Because that woman in the Bible had asked, you know, wanted a child, and this child had God had given the child, and then the child was, you know, in the Bible died, you know, and so this black woman there in Memphis had somehow seen herself in the scriptures. There are people, I know that years ago there was, I think it was in, it might have been in India. There was a woman that realized that she was the woman that the prophet went to and said, make me a cake. And she said, well, I've only got enough here for me and my son where he didn't die. And he said, well, make it for me first. And for thus saith the Lord, the meal and the oil won't run dry. And there was a woman, this was when I first was coming into the message, but there was a woman over in India. God struck her the same way. And people went there year after year. God promised her, and she had a meal. She was being sustained the same way. And people went there and could eat or whatever and witness it. And so this woman in Memphis, God revealed to her that she was like that woman in the Bible. And because of that, because she said, you know what? I'm that woman, and you gave me that son. And now I'm in trouble with my son like she was. And so if I'm that person, like that person in the Bible, then there's more to this story.
Mm-hmm.
Then where is this Elijah? It's what the colored woman said. Where mm-hmm. is it? And that her not even realized, she hadn't even heard Brother Brown. Because he asked her. She said, no, she didn't know nothing about him. But her faith reached up there in that sky and brought that plane down with a storm to make it to where, because the Lord spoke to her and said, I'm sending him to you. He's going to be walking down the street, and he's going to have a hat or a certain hat or whatever. And so she went out there, she believed in him. And that's what faith does. faith produces, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, that plane Brother Branham was in could have been on the other side of the planet, and her faith could make that plane come, you know. I mean, it's just, you have to realize there is no limitations with God. And so, you know, she knew that God had spoken and said he's coming, and so she was waiting for him. Now notice what she did. She believed. She believed enough that she went out to the street and was waiting. And it said her back was wet with dew. And as he come walking up, she started laughing. Said, "Howdy, Parson." So, you know, I can't say that we can just all of a sudden say, "Well, I'm just gonna find myself in Scripture and I'm gonna be like that." But I'm telling you, as a Christian, I mean, that's, we see ourselves in the Bible. You know, as we walk with God, there are times you go through things, and God knows how to speak to you out of His Word. And once you catch something, once you catch a revelation of how God is in your life and dealing with you, He will fulfill whatever that is. And that's what happened to that woman. And so, I believe God has something for you, brother. You know, that you just keep walking with Him and believing, and He'll open up the gates of heaven for you.
During your times of when you feel down and you feel lonely or you feel beat down, that's actually your greatest opportunity for growth right then, because you feel weak, you don't feel God, you don't feel like anything's going through. That is your opportunity to gain ground, and that's the way you really need to focus on that, right? Is during those times, is because that's when you need Him. But if you're strong and you're healthy, you don't have that. You don't have the sincerity that you could possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
And during those times, Brother Brown, when you talk about that, there you had a sincereness with you at that time that you were able to listen to that message like never before. If you weren't going through what you're going through, you wouldn't have felt it that way. So, in a sense, count that as a blessing, mm-hmm. You know. And young people especially remember that. When you're feeling alone and you're like, "Man, I don't feel that faith," that's your opportunity right now. That is your opportunity to dig down and say, "God, I want that fire in my heart."
Yeah.
You know, I see it so much around the message. I don't want to see it around us. There are people who are walking with just a head knowledge. There's no fire. There's no love in your heart that you're feeding on. Because that is the being a Christian experience, is you're walking with that love in your heart. That's why we do what we do, is because of the love in our heart. We don't want to fall into a mode where we're just doing things because we're supposed to.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. In marriage, you do certain things because you're supposed to, but you got to have that fire on the inside of me. And that's where I feel with the ministry. If you listen to the services here lately, it's been about fellowship. Fellowshipping with the Lord. To really fellowship with the Lord, really walk with the Lord and have that fire on the inside. Because whenever you're walking with Him during the week and then during a service, it's just, you've been walking with Him already, so it's easy to keep going. But if you ain't walking with Him during the week, and then all of a sudden you're going to try to start walking with Him on Sunday or on Wednesday, of course you're not going to connect like you used to. Like, I hadn't seen this brother in a little while. Well, I can't talk to him about stump grinding or stuff like that because we hadn't talked about it. But we talk about the Lord, you know, because we're able to talk about it. We're able to communicate with that. Maybe Brother Tony, I don't talk most of the time during the week. But whenever we see each other, we can just connect right there and just keep talking. You know why? Because we're both walking with the Lord automatically. And that's, to me, that's key. Yeah. Walk with that fire in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Brother Ram said you the deep call to the deep, brother.
Yeah.
And if you've got a desire for something out of God's word, a blessing for your family and for yourself,
yes,
you can't even have that desire if it's not there for you. You know, it's there. But, you know, like Brother Damon said, that's the time, you know, like Paul and Silas in the prison. I'm pretty sure they didn't feel like
it. Right.
But they did.
That's right.
They started singing praises or whatever. I remember one time I was sick with a stomach virus. And I put up with a lot of things, but I just don't like nausea. You know, that's just not a pain or whatever, but nausea is one thing I just... And I was sitting there, you know how it is, just lingering and building, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's like, just hurry up and get it over with, you know, type
mm-hmm.
of thing. And I just said, "Lord," I wasn't thinking about, you know, praising Him to get healing or anything. I just,
He is my strength when I am weak. He is a treasure that I seek. He is my all in all.
Yeah.
Seeking him as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God,
right.
Worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, taking my sin, my shame, my cross, rising here. Oh, I love that song.
Yes.
Love
Amen.
It. That's wonderful, buddy.
We haven't sung that one in church yet.
Yeah.
I've
That's
heard
pretty,
it.
Though.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think you just singing that
we'll
earlier.
Today.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know how to play.
Praise the Lord.
Oh,
amen.
So, you'll play it and she'll sing it Wednesday night.
Yeah.
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 They not open their mouth, didn't they?
I yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
okay,
Brother Brian's here.
Oh, they're not sure.
Oh, I'm
sure.
I think he's got it,
probably.
Oh, that was outstanding.
No, I've heard that song, and I like it.
Yeah. I really appreciate your passion, brother. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's that fire I was talking about.
Well, you know, the scripture said faith is worketh by love.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I can't say this enough either, but, you know, the scripture also says that because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold.
Yeah.
And I always think about that. If people's love for God, for people, for his word is waxing cold because they have iniquity in their life and they're letting things go that they should be giving attention to, the end result is it's going to attack your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a, when you have love in your heart, it propels you to do things. You know,
mm-hmm.
It sure does. It'll propel you to, you know, you die for people, die for others. You know, give your life for others because you love them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Lord did. So. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, or just
blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Like.
Okay. So I just resist.
Remember all those times they told you to write down your question?
No, I understand.
Well, anyway. I don't mean to distract anybody, I just was thinking of something else that was earlier, so this question is very pertinent or whatever. Well, you know, a believer, a real predestinated believer can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You're elect, you're, you know, God's foreknowledge, he knows, he didn't make a mistake, so, you know, in the scriptures it talks about Jesus when they would say, call him devil and different things and say, you know, yeah, you can do that, but when the Holy Ghost comes, if you speak against the Holy Ghost, then it won't be forgiven in this life or in the life to come or whatever, and that's, you know, that's considered blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. But to make fun of the moving of the Lord and the things that, you know, the things that the Lord's doing, and, you know, Brother Brown gave the example of, you know, in the scripture it says if we willfully sin, you know, after we come to this knowledge or whatever, there remains no more sacrifice. And he's talking about, I don't remember the name of the guy, but it's one of the brothers in the church had a brother who, the question was about water baptism, I think, in Jesus' name. And he said, hey, you know, if I can show you, you show me that it's supposed to be in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, I'll let you baptize me. And if I show you that it's Lord Jesus Christ, will you, you know, let me baptize? baptize you? And the guy said yes, and opened up the scriptures right there and proved it right quick. That, and then the guy refused to let Brother Branham baptize him. You remember the story?
Mm-hmm.
He refused, and Brother Branham said, "See, if we willfully," so he saw it and saw that it was right, but he wouldn't do it, and so he moved into a realm there where he could not have forgiveness for that. Well, there remains no more sacrifice. Well, if there's no sacrifice for that sin, how are you going to get rid of it? You know, and so blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is to you know, ridicule or speak evil or make fun of or whatever of whatever God's doing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he's, so if he sent a prophet in our day, whatever God's moving in service, you know, and I know people can do things out of ignorance,
mm-hmm.
and this is a realm that belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
He knows when someone stepped across the line. We don't, right? So we just don't want to ridicule, make fun of, or take lightly or count lightly anything that's the moving of the Lord, anything that His Word says, anything that His Holy Spirit's trying to do.
The biggest thing on that is you don't know when someone else is blessing, and it's not our place to ever look at it. So, and the devil will try to make you think that you have blasphemed. And as long as you've got a pull in your heart to love God, I love God, I love this word, I want to, you have not blasphemed the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So, just remember that. You know, as far as certain questions, even that goes back to serpent seed. We go to one of the first questions. It's not our job to pick out that serpent seed. That's not our job. It's our job to believe this word and to love this word and draw people to it as much as you can. And that's our job. Our job is to be the mercy seat. Express the love that we have in our heart.
And who are we to judge anyway?
Yeah, we don't know. I would rather be guilty of telling someone they can be saved and find out that I'm wrong than to be telling somebody you can't be saved and find out that I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you draw every person in that you possibly
yes.
can. And it don't matter who they are. You know, if it's a drunkard, if it's someone going to the Baptist church, you say, praise God. You believe with all your heart.
Yeah.
Because a chicken cannot fly like an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
You can't you can condemn it all you want to. You stinking chicken, why didn't you fly? He can't.
Yeah.
And there's some people that will not see this message. Love them, encourage them, and you draw and you pat them on the back, say, God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. And you be the best encouragement you can, and then you live high enough that they will want what you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our job, guys. Because I'm telling you what, that goes back to the fire that we have. It's so easy to get pulled to the part to where you're looking at the analytics of everything that you're missing the passion of what it is to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We are saved. We've been saved by the grace of God. If think of this, friends, if one of us dies tonight, we know where we're standing. That's the most. That's the greatest thing you have, because you know what? When someone's going to die on their deathbed with cancer or whatever it is, they say in just a few minutes you're going to die. They're not going to be thinking about how many quotes they know.
Yeah.
It's going to go back to, do I really have the goods?
Right.
And you want, and yet at that point, that's the most important thing you have in this life. And when you put your focus on that, guys, you'll walk with joy.
Yeah.
You walk with happiness. I hope that makes sense what I'm trying to say. You know,
did I give my heart to the Lord?
Yeah, and that's the most important
day.
Thing, you know,
yeah.
and so that shouldn't even be a question. It should be beyond. That's the most important thing in your life is
yeah.
I know who I am. I know whenever I passed out at work a couple years ago, I literally thought I was dying, and I can honestly say 100%, I was not afraid at all. I was absolutely at peace with that. I was literally, the only sadness I point is I was thinking about, I'd love to kiss my wife and my kids one more time. That's the one thought I had in my mind, but I honestly had no fear.
Mm-hmm.
I knew without a doubt, I know where I'm standing, and that's where you want to be, you know. And I got to see the grandbaby coming up, so that's good. But if I go, hey, I made it. You know, Brother Daniel said, hey, I know where I'm going. And I want that. I don't want no blooming, crying, boo-hooing. I said, praise God, he made it, you know.
Yeah.
Celebration.
Better get off, he's going to get me.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about, that's the walk you want to have, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. Don't focus so much on stuff out there, but we are focus on the heat of the heat of what it is to be a Christian.
Because yeah.
that's what that's where you're going to be a witness to somebody, is about being forgiven. Hey, I've been healed. I've received salvation. I know a God that comforts. You share that with somebody, that's what somebody needs.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to feed them. But will you start, let me tell you about serpent seed. Get away from me, you freak. You know, you're not going to draw anybody with that.
Right,
talk about salvation, about comfort, about a God that cares, a God that can put your marriage back together, a God that can do this. That's what you need to put your heart
right,
in.
That's
you
right.
know? And
the Holy Spirit is always positive.
Absolutely.
And then you have to ask yourself, like me, well, how much time of the day am I negative because of what's going on at work or whatever? The Holy Spirit's always positive. And you can't draw someone toward the Lord with negative stuff, you know, without, you know. You know, so it's about living it, you know. It's just, use my wife as an example, you know. You can say, oh, look at Brother Tony, him and his wife, you know, they're together and they come to church and all that. And, you know, and she washes his clothes and she fixes food for him. And she could go through all the rituals of every day taking care of everything. And it might look good on the outside. But if there's no love, so you can act out all that, but if the love's not there, it's no good.
Right.
You know, but if the love is there, well, then love propels you to do things or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And this message is, the world, but this message is not immune to it. There's plenty of people who were raised in this message and they do not know the Lord.
Yeah, one of the things Brother Tony said several years ago, and I just thought it was funny, and it's a perfect analogy. What Sister Lisa does his laundry, but at night time, he don't grab that bowl of laundry and said, "I sure do love you.
That's right.
I sure love you." And now, as much as Malachi likes fried chicken, you know, he can almost say, "I sure love you," you know. But really, that's really the way it is. Your works and stuff.
That's
you
right.
do works with it, but that's not what God wants.
Right.
You know, and that's no more than we don't want just the blessings. We want Him.
That's right.
And that's what God wants. God wants you. He don't want your works. He don't want, but I did this. I don't want that. I want you.
Yeah.
But I went to church. I don't want just that. I want you. And that's what God wants. God, and it's pretty awesome to think of that.
Let's tie it to Scripture real quick here. This is a good point. St. John chapter 6, right? Jesus had done miracles and the fishes and loaves and stuff, and then a little bit later in the scriptures, he began to say, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And he didn't explain it. But these people were like, "What in the world is this guy talking about?" He said, "You seek me because of the fishes and loaves. You seek me because of the blessings I can give.
Works.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeking me because you want to feel good, you want finances, you want to have a good time." But his ministry moved to the place where now He was drawing them to a deeper walk. Let me say it that way: to a deeper walk, where what he's compelling them to do is to receive Him, not just the blessings He can give you. And so they had a problem with that, because to receive Him, you got to get past, you know. And so they're like, "Who's this guy? He's telling us to eat His flesh, drink His blood, right?" And so. That St. John chapter 6, and the scripture said many of his disciples following him, they turned and went back no more. They wouldn't follow him no more.
Mm-hmm.
And that was St. John chapter 6, verse 66.
Mm-hmm.
So unbelief. And so that's it's where we are today. It's always been like this. You need to know Him.
Yes.
Not just His blessings.
Mm-hmm.
He wants that relationship. And then everything else will take care of itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then all these other things will be added. Right? And we always say, well, you know, job and all that. But I mean, just if you just want the blessings of God, if you just want to feel good in church, and you're really not in love with Him,
right,
there's a problem. You know, and there's plenty of people in the message. You can tell, you know, they just don't know the Lord. They told Brother Brandon, "You don't know your Bible very well." He said, "No, that's true. And I do know the offer real well."
Yeah.
And that's what that should be. You know, we should study to show ourselves approved. We should, you know. But you know, one way that you get to know Him more is by reading His
Bible.
Yeah, Brother Tony, could I insert a little something here?
Sure.
You know, it's gone for these last few weeks. You know, difficulty I didn't have a very good attitude, and I let that come home with me, roll me, talk verbally with others, and I just really need to get this in my heart. It's in Matthew chapter 5. It's the Beatitudes, or otherwise known as the Sermon on the Mountain.
Yes.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they of the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for the righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then it goes on to even talk about the prophets. And so this journey that we're on, I mean, it's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to take work, and especially marriage. Marriage is like a job. And when I was younger, working in the oil fields back in California, my toll pusher would tell me, you separate home life when you come to work. You don't bring that with you. And it's like, I was like, okay, John Wayne, okay, you know, but how can you separate the two? You're out there working because you got people at home that you love, you know, and you got things going on. I mean, I couldn't understand his. But in a way, I do understand his theology. Mm-hmm.
And so, like Brother Tony says, we got to take up our cross.
Right.
And bear the things that we have to bear here. It wasn't easy for Christ as a human being on earth.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be easy for his children, just the same. But we have to have the faith and believe that he's going to get us through it.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing great is your reward is in heaven, so we're seeking for that kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just here for the blessings to be here, but we're seeking him because we want to be with him whenever we go from this journey to the next.
Yeah. I always, you all probably hear me say this quite often in different ways or whatever, but just always remember that it's Christ in you, and as you suffer, It's just Christ suffering again. He's just in you. But anytime there's a sacrifice, someone's going to benefit from that.
Yeah.
And I like to think that it's my friends and my family and my loved ones, those that, you know, that my life is that it, no matter, even if nobody sees it, if I'm going through something, you know, being tested and tried, and I'm come through it as a sacrifice for the Lord, that sacrifice is there for somebody, for some reason. Mm-hmm. Life comes from death, right? Life comes from suffering. That's what the gospel is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And so just always remember that as you go through things, that you may not see it right now, but somebody around you, whatever, is going to be blessed. It may just be simply, like, remember Brother, I'm talking about the guys drinking and said, a couple of guys said, there ain't no such thing as a real Christian. And the other fella said, well, no, there actually is one. It's my wife. Oh, no, it ain't. He said, no, she is. Let's just go prove it. You know, remember the story?
Mm-hmm.
And so she led them into the Lord just by her response to his rough, the way he treated her or whatever. And so as she went through that trial, there was a benefit come from it, you know. So just maybe for mentioning, you know, Brother Ram talked about when a man is called, so his wife is called too. It's not, God's not going to call two people together, be husband and wife, and them to be on different roads. Right? Now, Satan will try to put them on different roads. That's going to happen. But if you can always remember that as a promise of God, God has called your wife to be with you or your husband to be with you, for you guys to walk together and faith together. That's a promise, and so you can hold that promise to the Lord and believe that your wife will be in the same faith with you. My wife, she was a Presbyterian Sunday school teacher whenever we met and got married, and you know, I was running around serving the devil, and she thought she was going to lose me to the devil, to my running buddies. And then all of a sudden, the Lord got a hold of me, and she said, I thought I was going to lose him to his buddies, and now I think I'm going to lose him to his God. Because it was such a drastic difference, and so she wasn't. She, you know, you can imagine. And for a while, I don't know how long it was, but I thought, well, you know, would she ever be by my side? You know, I felt like, you know, it was a Goliath in front of me for a while. But God is faithful. That's her over there. And so I want to encourage you, brother. I don't know the situation with your parents, her parents, whatever. Just God is faithful. Yeah. And you got a bunch of brothers and sisters praying for you. We too, brother.
Yep. Yeah. Just be sweet and create that atmosphere.
Yep. Yeah. If you come home with a bad attitude, boy, and we all can do that. It sure can. It can erase a lot of ground. And get, you know, you have to gain back. You know. Yeah. So.
Tony absolutely never pushed me in any direction.
Yes, I did. I sure did. You know, I'm like, now, we want it now, you know. But by the grace of God, I didn't. And he was faithful, you know. And we've been through some ups and downs. We've had some rough things happen, and God has been so good to us, you know. So, you know, every one of you, the Lord tarries, you're going to have these things. Time and just always remember, it's just, I think Brother Biscoe had that phrase, he'd say, this too shall pass. Just always remember as a believer. I had somebody say something to me the other day, they're looking back over their life and they're like, yeah, they've had all these turns of event they thought was okay, I finally arrived, and it would just go away. And they said, everything about my life has just been temporary. You know? But there's one thing that's not temporary. Right. There's one thing that comes as permanent. That's where you spend time after you leave this life. You know. And we always want to keep our eyes on that. We live in Satan's Eden. I really appreciate Brother Branham putting that phrase on it, because that makes it through the clarity that comes with that statement to realize we live in Satan's Eden. This is the environment he wanted all these years.
Sure it is.
Satan wanted this hour. He's not a creator, so he couldn't create it. But he's waited in technology, and he's got it to the place that this is the hour that he wanted. Yeah. Because it suits his program. And we're right in the middle of it. We've got God's going to have Old Tumbling Bride right in the middle of this thing right here. I heard a brother say one time, he said, you know what? The serpent came into God's Eden and caused the fall, right? The serpent caused the fall by a woman, you know. They said, now God is coming into Satan's Eden and causing Satan's demise by a woman.
Yeah.
You know. You think about that in the story in the Bible where this woman threw a millstone out of him and killed that guy, you know. I always took it as probably the way I get it was very humiliating to know you died because a woman killed you. You know,
yeah.
You're used to soldiers and men going out and doing things, but you don't normally see that. Well, the whole thing's going to end by Satan being totally defeated, you know, by a woman, by Christ in a bride.
Yeah,
you know.
I heard Timothy Pruitt talk one time, several years ago, preaching the service. He said, could you imagine a guy getting beat by a girl? He said, think about it. Satan's getting beat by a girl.
That's good. Well,
it's pretty good.
Everybody good? Okay. I haven't heard any stomach growl, but it's growling. Yours or the baby's?
She's eating too.
Yeah.
I'm the father, so I bet her is growling.
Yeah. Okay. We'll close in prayer then. Bow our hearts. Lord, how we thank you for this little time and this little group of people for this place. sanctified for your presence and for your word. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit take the things we've discussed tonight, Lord, that as seeds were sown, Lord, that you'd hover over them, brood over them, Lord, that you'd cause water to come and the sunshine to come that would bring these truths and these nuggets to fruition in everyone's lives, Lord. We love you, Lord. We come here because we want to know more about you. We want to know how to be better Christians, how to be more victorious each day. And Lord, I know that as each one of us go through battles, we just pray, Lord, that something's been said here this night that would be a strength to each one. We pray for each other. Just ask God that you'd be with us now. We ask for your blessings upon this food also in the hands of the Pharaoh. We ask in Jesus' name.